All right, so President Obama, it's the other really big story this morning outside of Iran. President Obama is going to rewrite the financial rules today. It's expected to be the unveiling of the biggest overhaul of the U.S. financial system since the Great Depression, at the very least. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner explained some of what's likely to be seen later today.
We want a system that does a better job of preventing future crises, is more stable, more resilient, preserves the benefits of innovation, protects consumers and investors better, better tools for managing future crises.
Details of this overhaul have been trickling out for months. We aren't looking for any huge surprises. Certainly the Federal Reserve is going to have a very big role, but all eyes today are going to be on what new powers President Obama intends to give the Federal Reserve Bank. We're joined now by our good friend Peter Morici, economist and professor at the University of Maryland School of Business. Peter, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
You know, let's talk about this regulatory regime that's going to be announced today. Barack Obama last night on CNBC said the old regulatory regimes were made obsolete by the march of hedge funds and unique financial instruments that defied regulation. First of all, is the Federal Reserve itself a regulatory body that can actually be brought to bear here?
Actually, the Federal Reserve right now is a regulatory body. It has primary responsibility for the bank holding companies, which are the large institutions that caused this problem. The basic breakdown here was the Fed did not use the powers that it had. So President Obama is putting another layer on. He's creating a committee chaired by the Secretary of the Treasury with members from the various bank regulatory agencies that we already have. To advise the Fed as to when there might be a systemic risk. Look, the basic problem here was the banks put off books and offshore these risky securities, and what we call sieves. I can show you textbooks at the University of Maryland that teach you how to create a sieve. We teach alchemy at the University of Maryland, as you do at Wharton and NYU. We all knew about the sieves. Paulson knew about them. He said they don't pose a problem until they did.
All right, Hank Paulson, the former Treasury Secretary. Let's deconstruct sieves here. What does that acronym stand for?
Structured investment vehicles are basically a place where you can park these mortgage-backed securities off the books of the banks.
All right,
If
the whole idea is they're off the books, these securitized investment vehicles, how do you regulate them? Because the whole idea is to create something that's out of the shadow of regulation.
Well, the point is you've got to prohibit banks from creating such entities. That's all this really comes down to. But the thing is, once we do that, they'll come up with something else. Creating a committee of bureaucrats is not going to solve the problem. What's more, it has already been widely acknowledged that our banking system is fragmentedly regulated. There are too many regulatory bodies. So what they're going to do is get rid of one and create two more on top of all the others they already have.
All right, but let's get a sense of scale here before you march ahead here. I mean, it seems to me on the one hand, the SEC is supposed to be regulating things like stocks and bonds. But compared to the Fed, the SEC is kind of a little card table. The Fed itself is more like the aquarium in which all of these banks float. And let's not forget, the federal government owns AIG, appears to de facto own Citigroup and Bank of America. How do you regulate something if you also own it?
Well, that's a big problem, but remember, they only own three institutions right now, so I don't think I'm too worried about that issue. I'm more concerned about what do you do with Jamie Dimon
J.P. Morgan Chase.
J.P. Morgan, exactly.
You never get this stuff wrong, Peter. I'm starting to worry about it.
I know. But in any case, how do you regulate J.P. Morgan or the others who are paying back their TARP money, but you have huge lines of credit from the Fed— for which there has been no accountability.
Hmm.
This provisions does require Ben Bernanke to go get a permission slip from the Secretary of the Treasury when he makes those kinds of loans in the future. So I can just see this. Ben sees a crisis. He has to hop in a cab, trot over to Treasury, and get a little pass, like when you went to the bathroom as a kid, to then make the loans. It's really kind of silly.
Let me just back you up for 1 second.
Sure.
How much of this is about projecting the U.S. financial system as being a great place to put your money, and that it's really not intended for you and me, that this regulatory regime is all about attracting Chinese investors and making sure that they don't demand a higher interest rate when they basically buy into the U.S. economy?
I don't think we should worry as much about Chinese investors as you seem to. It's more about attracting private capital around the world to the notion that the U.S. financial system is safe and secure, and that the global financial system is safe and secure. If the New York and London markets don't work well, the global financial system breaks down. So by default, because we're the reserve currency country, we are really creating a regulatory regime which will have to be patterned the rest of the world for it to be effective. And what I'm saying to you is they're not creating that. They're not fixing what's broken. They're ladling on more whipped cream on a stale cake.
So the people who were hurt by Madoff, there's likely to be more Ponzi schemes in the future. The people who lost all their money by declining assets like Lehman Brothers going out of existence, Bear Stearns going out of existence, they have no reason to feel more protected after today?
Well, what we're having happen right now is a tightening of loopholes and regulations that's already in train. A lot of what needs to be done is already in train, but this is kind of like tightening up the tax code. The people that want to cheat on it or the people that want to evade it, which are one's illegal, one's legal, will find new ways to do it. This does not solve this problem. There are lots of regulatory bodies already, and this is going to add to them. You know, take the Consumer Protection Agency they want to create. You've got three kinds of loans.
The Consumer mortgages, Financial Protection Agency. Right, right, right.
Right. You've got mortgages, you got auto loans, credit cards. We just had a new credit card bill re-regulate that entity. The Federal Reserve has been reforming mortgage writing. Last I heard, there isn't a real problem with auto loans. We don't need a whole new agency to do what we just did. What we're basically going to do is create yet another board that presidents can appoint their friends to, more bureaucrats running around Washington. This is blind faith in regulation and bureaucracy, much the way the Republicans have a blind faith in markets.
Certainly, we're going to be sorting out the politics from the real economics here. One last question before we go. This organization, Ben Bernanke, will be able to break up the so-called too-big-to-fail entities, corporations, and banks. Do you think that's a good idea?
It's a good idea, but I don't know how it would be done. Look at the problems they're having with Citigroup right now. They basically want to dismember Citigroup, and they can't do it because if they're too big to fail, they're often too big to sell, even in their pieces. It's very much like what we're going through with General Motors. Again, creating an agency doesn't necessarily solve, or creating a power doesn't necessarily solve an intractable problem.
Well, but talking to Peter Morici does help me to understand an intractable regulatory scheme that's going to be announced later today. How's that for a segue, Peter?
Take care.
Peter Morici, economist and professor at the School of Business at the University of Maryland, our friend here at The Takeaway, talking about the regulatory regime that the Obama administration will announce later today.
So, listeners, we need your help. We are looking to preserve endangered sounds, and we want yours. Go to our webpage, thetakeaway.org, and you will find instructions on how to send a sound that you would like preserved. The BBC will upload your sound to their world sound map next week and play a selection of your sounds. Here is your takeaway.
What we're trying to do is take an audio snapshot of the world. I mean, if you think about it, with things like Flickr, there's an amazing number of photographs of the world. There are so many books about the history of the world. And audio is something that we just seem to take for granted. And yet it's such a kind of powerful thing.
That's Kate Arkless-Gray. She's the project catalyst for the BBC's Save Our Sounds.
We've also got buttermilk on our website.
Absolutely, thetakeaway.org.
I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Femi Oke, and this is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.